I'd like to read three scriptures this evening. I'm reading three examples of how people came in touch with Jesus. And the first one is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 11, and I'll read through to verse 17. And it came to pass afterwards he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she a widow. And a very considerable crowd of the city was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, was moved with compassion for her, and said to her, "Weep not." And coming up, he touched the bier, and the bearers stopped. And he said, "Youth, I say to thee, wake up." And the dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. And fear seized on all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has been raised up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report went out in all Judea concerning him and in all the surrounding country. My next scripture is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and the first verse. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1. And he entered again into Capernaum after several days, and it was reported that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, so that there was no longer any room, not even at the door. And he spoke the word to them. And there come to him men bringing a paralytic borne by four. And not being able to get near to him on account of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And having dug it up, they let down the couch on which the paralytic lay. But Jesus, seeing their faith, says to the paralytic, "Child, thy sins are forgiven thee." But certain of the scribes were there sitting and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak? He blasphemes. Who is able to forgive sins except God alone?" And straightway Jesus, knowing in his spirit that they are reasoning thus within themselves, said to them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy couch and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he says to the paralytic, "To thee I say, arise, take up thy couch and go to thine house." And he arose straightway, and having taken up his couch, went out before them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it thus." And finally, back in Luke's Gospel again, chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel and verse 43. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman who had a flux of blood since 12 years, who having spent all her living on physicians, could not be cured by anyone, coming up behind, touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flux of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who has touched me?" But all denying, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the crowds close thee in and press upon thee, and sayest thou, who has touched me?" And Jesus said, "Someone has touched me, for I have known that power has gone out from me." And the woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling and falling down before him, declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, "Be of good courage, daughter, thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace." I said I wanted to speak about the way that people come in touch with Jesus. And I've chosen verses from Scripture which show three quite different ways. One Jesus came to where she was in the most extreme circumstances. Secondly, we've read about a man who was actually unable to come himself, but was brought to Jesus. And thirdly, I've read of a woman who made a point of coming to Jesus herself. My first scripture tells a story of a person who was in the greatest extremity. She was a widow, therefore every hope, every aspiration she had was centered in her son, her only son, and then he died. I think you can understand that the city would have been surrounding her with their compassions. Those who knew her, those who knew someone who knew her, they would all be concerned to do all they could for this poor, poor widowed woman as she went to bury her son. But the marvellous thing is that in God's ways, that funeral party was met by another party, a party with Jesus and his disciples. And the Lord saw what was happening, and it is said of him that he was moved with compassion. I love to think of my Saviour in that way, moved with compassion. I think you can write pretty well across the whole of the Gospels that lovely message about one who was moved with compassion. Jesus had travelled miles from Capernaum, where he seemed to be earlier in the chapter, and now he comes into the situation of this woman, widow woman. And he says to the dead man, "I say to you, wake up. Wake up." The blessed Lord alone could speak to a dead person like that. It says somewhere that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That relates to a day that's yet to come. But who was there in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, all the power that was available to him? And so he says, "This man, youth, I say to thee, wake up." And the man wakes up, dead sat up, and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. And fear seized on all, and they glorified God. Well, so the woman benefits, the youth benefits, but there's glory to God. And I think underneath all the preaching, we have to remember that God is seeking something from mankind. His creature, made in his likeness, and he wants a response from men. The Father seeketh worshippers. Those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. What a message that is. What a message to the woman. What a message that Father is seeking something from you or, and me as we are affected by a touch from the Saviour, the one who is the Son of God. And not only that, it says in this passage that a report went out in all Judea concerning him and in all the surrounding country. Men were to hear about the fame of Jesus. It says somewhere that the fame of Jesus filled the land. So there was that report going out to whosoever will, that someone who can heal sins, who can come into your circumstances, do exactly what's necessary for you. The fame of Jesus filled the land. And this evening, the fame of Jesus is available to you. We would like to tell forth the fame of our blessed Saviour, the one who's died for me, the one who shed his blood at Calvary for me, and the one who wants to be your Saviour. My second scripture in Mark's Gospel tells another story about someone being brought to Jesus. He was a paralytic. He couldn't move for himself, but he had men who were prepared to bring him to Jesus. I think That's something for the young ones to think about. How many times have you been brought in prayer to Jesus, your name been mentioned before the Lord Jesus, before the throne of God, and people have prayed for you to be blessed? They've sought to bring you to Jesus. But these four, they found that the house was crowded. They couldn't get in. Everything was looked absolutely impossible. They decided to go up on the roof, and there they were. They went up the stairs. I assume there were stairs at the side of the house. They were able to get on the roof, and then the scripture says they just uncovered the roof. I think it must have meant quite a bit to uncover the roof. They will have had to work out some way of lowering the man on his couch through the roof. There must have been some sort of rafters. Somehow they got that man through those rafters. They got him into the presence of the Saviour. And I like to think of that because I think those men had tremendous faith. First of all, they had tremendous faith that the man who was there, the Son of God, our blessed Lord Jesus, was able to cure even this paralytic. And also the confidence of the paralytic in those who are going to let him down through the roof. And so he comes to the feet of the Saviour. Dear friend, that's the place to come to. That's the place we'd love you to be at as you acknowledge the greatness of Jesus, who he is, what he's done for you, and to put your trust in that completed work. I take you back to Calvary. Remember how much he did for you. I think of my Saviour there, being there for me, how he bore my sins in his own body on the tree, how his blood was shed for me, that my sins might be forever removed from the presence of a righteous God. We think of the marvellous fact that Jesus offered himself without spot to God. Something to think about, something to marvel at, the perfection of Jesus in his work at Calvary. Those hours of darkness, men did all they could, but God in his ways caused those hours of darkness when my Saviour bore every one of my sins in his own body on the tree. I marvel at that. I can't fully understand it. I've only got a very, very small impression of the greatness of that work. But I know he's borne my sins in his own body on the tree. And I'd like you to have that same assurance. And what's more, you can have it today by just coming into the presence of Jesus. And you can do it wherever you are. Simply speak to Jesus and tell him that you're a sinner, that you need a Saviour, and you'd like Jesus, like him, Jesus, to be your own personal Saviour. God loves to hear a prayer like that. We love to hear that such a prayer has been prayed as someone comes afresh to have a personal link with Jesus. Will you not make that prayer tonight? Will you not come to Jesus and own him as your own personal Saviour? He wants to bless you. He wants to make you happy. He wants to give you peace. And it's all available through trusting in the blessed Saviour, the one who is indeed the Saviour of the world. My final scripture relates to a woman who knew exactly how needy she was. Medical condition. She had been ill for 12 years and her life was literally ebbing away. She must have got weaker and weaker and weaker, and none of the doctors were able to help her at all. Hopeless situation. None of the medical facilities that we have these days, for which we're so thankful, particularly in the present time, but there was virtually none of those. The physicians could do so little, and she'd spent all her money and rather got worse. I think that's another a gospel where it says that she rather got worse. But here it just says she could not be cured by anyone, but she came up and touched the hem of his garment, and she was immediately healed. What a difference. What a difference. How different she would have felt. She would be conscious that something had happened in herself as a result of just touching the Lord's garment, the hem of his garment. I think she might well have been prepared to slip away. But Jesus said, "Who has touched me? Who has touched me? Someone has touched me, for I have known that power has gone out from me." Dear friend, the Lord's power is available to heal today. He felt the power that this woman, that had been necessary to heal this woman. Power had gone out from him, and this woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling and falling down before the Saviour, declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was immediately healed. I love to think of a testimony of a person like that, someone who's come in touch with the Saviour, and they can give a testimony of the difference it's made in their life, how that would affect anyone who heard a story like that. The greatness of the work of Jesus. Again, I say, don't forget the fame of Jesus filled the land. But today, the work of Jesus is available to you. Simply put your trust in what he's done for you on Calvary's tree. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We think of the way that Jesus died. We think of the way he was buried. But we think of the way, too, that he was raised from among the dead. I love to think of the way that that tomb was empty, that the disciples went in and found the grave clothes there, but the body had gone. We know a story was created that the body had been stolen by the Lord's disciples, but the fact was that Jesus had left the tomb. So early in the morning, Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. The tomb is empty, underlines the fact that Jesus has completed the work and he's broken the power of sin and death and set free all those who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Are you among that number? Are you one who can say, "Jesus shed his precious blood for me. He's my Saviour." God loves to give the Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to those who believe. And it's worth thinking about the resource that God gives a Christian to walk here, to help him in difficulties, to defend him in circumstances where he's out of his depth. God has given the Holy Spirit. I wonder at it when you think of the way that a person of the Godhead actually indwells each believer. God has not, can we say, stinted on the resources that he's given to those who he's saved from their sins, that they might be with him as worshippers. Father seeketh worshippers, as we've said. And there will be a time coming soon when we'll all be with our blessed Saviour. We don't know the time. Could be very soon. Could be today. I ask myself, am I ready to leave everything behind to be with my precious Saviour? I'd like to just pass on that challenge to you too, that the Saviour's love is such that he wants you to be for himself. The world generally is drifting farther and farther from God. Everything is being given up that once was held to be right. But in those circumstances, the Christian is to shine as lights in the world. He wants you to be among those, that company of those who shine for him. Put your trust in Jesus. I plead with you again. Please, please, please. Don't just let this word pass you by and think there'll be another opportunity. We offer no guarantees of another preaching, of another week, or of another month. But, dear friend, today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Put your trust in Jesus. Believe on him. Accept what he's done at Calvary's tree, and that removes your sins, those sins that so offended a holy God, and that God wants to have you with himself forever. Offer worth considering, my friend? Indeed, an offer that you cannot refuse. Don't refuse. Please, please consider God's offer of peace with him through accepting the work of Jesus as covering and removing every one of your sins, so that you can stand before God without a trace of stain upon you, only because of what Jesus has done. Please consider it this evening for God's glory. Amen.